Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. This is the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. I am Jason Goff, and I am joined by one of the Bulls outsiders, Matt Peck, and of course from NBCSportsChicago.com. You can catch him in the bowels of the UC if you're ever privileged enough to make it down there. He is Rob Schaefer. You heard him starring so brightly in the Kobe podcast. So looking forward to talking about the All-Star game, the All-Star week here in Chicago, the snubs, obviously Zach LaVine, what Zach is going through, and all the other things surrounding the NBA news since the last time we chatted with you.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
All right, guys. Always good to have you. Appreciate you guys giving us some of your time today. I know everybody's busy. On the heels of everything that the NBA and we as a basketball community have gone through over the last week with the passing of Kobe Bryant and his daughter and seven other passengers on a helicopter, we now have an event to deal with here in Chicago. And it's so crazy because, you know, it's been 31 some odd years, 32 years since this city has hosted it. And, of course, they get it when we as a sporting community, as an NBA community, as a global community are in the midst of dealing with how we process the Kobe stuff. And I was looking forward to All-Star Week because I've never been to one. And I never planned on going to one because I know what goes on at All-Star Week. I'm keeping it funky. I know what goes on at All-Star Week, by the way. And I also know at the time I wasn't prepared for the financial constraints that All-Star Week would have
fair,
on me.
Fair enough.
You don't want to go out to, you know, you don't want to go out to Orlando being some broke boy. You know what I'm saying? Like four of you in a hotel room, right? But now that it's coming here, I was like, oh, this is going to be cool. Just got the gig in October, get to work with a whole new company, whole new brand of people. My time at NBC Sports Chicago has been outstanding. And then the news happens, and then you have a game to deal with. So before we get to the Zach stuff and all the other things that we have to deal with regarding the game and the Rising Stars and Kobe and Wendell and everybody that's involved from Chicago side or not involved from Chicago side, how do you guys think this is going to be executed by not only the NBA, but by us as Chicagoans? Because we're supposed to be the host city. And everybody that is in the NBA community is going to be around it some way, somehow. You're going to interact with it. You're going to encounter it, whether it be traffic or popping up at events or some of the activations that Nike, Adidas, Puma, and Reebok have all put on and all the other shoe companies. Like, there's going to be a lot going on in the city. There's not going to be one venue that you used to walk into that you think you could walk into without an NBA All-Star Week kind of vibe. So how do you plan on dealing with it? How do you think the city's going to plan on dealing with it? And most importantly, how do you think the NBA will plan on dealing with a somber moment for an icon who, for the first time in 20-plus years, isn't here to be celebrated or celebrate the sport that he loves?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can count on the NBA to handle their various tributes to Kobe with nothing but class. I mean, the NBA is one of the best leagues in the world at handling those kind of heavy moments, and they all come together as a family. It's what Adam Silver was talking about with our insider Casey Johnson in, you know, part one of their two-part interview that's on NBCSportsChicago.com right now. And so I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, as Silver said in that interview, we might all be surprised as fans which moments resonate and hit us. And maybe some of them are ones that we won't necessarily expect, whereas some of the other more on the forefront kind of Kobe tributes may fall flat in some way. Right. But I think it's all about being just ready to openly embrace whatever the moment is and whatever emotions hit you. As far as being a Chicagoan, I wish I could say it were different, but I feel like my fellow Chicagoans are going to be just annoyed by the amount of people in their city and will mostly be confused.
We've been bitching about big events for years now.
People are all here. I can't remember. It was like for some other big sporting event recently.
Usually soccer and Soldier Field where people start bitching about the traffic.
And like there was some big sporting event, I want to say like down in Memphis or Nashville, and a bunch of bachelorette parties were all upset because a bunch of sports fans had invaded their city.
Right.
That's how I feel like Chicagoans are going to feel about All-Star Weekend, because as much as we all wish it were the opposite, as people who cover this Chicago Bulls team, nobody in Chicago is paying attention to the Bulls right now.
Mm.
They don't even know the NBA All-Star Weekend is coming here.
Mm. And you don't have Bulls to look forward to even in any of the on-court events, so you know that takes away a layer of intrigue too. And for the most part, I mean, unless you're privileged enough to be covering these events, attending these events, in some way involved with them, it's not really something that affects the day-to-day person a ton, other than being that nuisance. But to your point, and I like that you said this, Peck, I do think there's no doubt that the on-court and the ceremonial tributes that the NBA has planned will be of the utmost kind of class and resonance. Like we saw what they did at the Lakers game the other night, the Lakers-Blazers game. I thought that hit home in all of the...
It was a lot.
Yeah, I don't know whether to say it hit home in all the right ways, but it hit home in... really
made you feel something.
A doubt.
Yeah.
And to drag on for 45 minutes to an hour, and it really didn't feel like...
I couldn't believe it was that long.
But yeah, so I have no doubt that things like that... I'm excited for the new All-Star game format. I don't know if everybody feels that way. I think it'll be something. It'll be fun. I will be interested to see those little moments, like you were saying, that Silver mentioned to KC, that aren't necessarily a part of the script, but that become the most powerful moments of the weekend. I'll be interested to see what those are.
Yeah, I mean, I remember as a kid when Magic Johnson got to play in the All-Star game, and I'll never forget, I was in a basement on 78th and Jeffrey at my great aunt's house, who she's a seamstress, so I'm surrounded by sewing machines and fabric and all these other in this cold, dank basement, and I'm watching the All-Star game, because wherever I was at, no matter what, I was watching the All-Star game as a kid. The All-Star game always meant to me the celebration of a sport that I loved, and on top of it, I got to see all my favorite people in one place. So, and unlike other sports, the NBA has a kind of kinsmanship with entertainment where you can see it, feel it, and live it. You know, we got Reggie and Spike, right? We've got Jack Nicholson on the floor. We've got Penny Marshall as a noted Clippers fan, and Billy Crystal, right? Like every city's got their certain person. We've got guys who we don't even know their names, but when we see them, I'm like, oh, that's the old weird guy that looks like White Walker with a hat. You know what I mean? Like, you know who I'm talking about too, the old dude who like goes to every game, and we're like, we some
the
real
NBA
estate
version of the Marlins man.
Right. We're like, that's the mega millionaire, billionaire real estate investor who I just know because of the NBA. And the NBA has always kind of been that disjointed, but when we come together, we have a good time, family. And those coming together moments were in game nights and then the All-Star game. So no matter what city was in, as a kid, I was like, oh, okay, so this is what Orlando looks like. Like before the internet really took off, the All-Star game was a way for me to understand how small the world really is. Mm. Whether it be stars, whether it be sports figures, whether it be politicians, the NBA always kind of brought that to me. So now it's coming to my city, and I have a 3-year-old son, right? And I have people in my family who want to experience this in a way that I may not be able to, you know, allow them to. And all these things are happening, and on top of that, you know, you're dealing with a death. You're dealing with 9 deaths, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And it's somber, but you still want to kind of have fun. You still want to deal with it the way you should. You still want to give it the gravity that you should. I hope that everyone involved put whatever differences, because anytime you come to one of these arenas or the things that I've heard from other All-Star games, there is a certain sense of city representation as opposed to NBA representation that kind of butt heads, where the NBA just comes in You know, it's like the Super Bowl.
Right.
Because the NBA has a series. The Super Bowl has a site.
Yeah.
So it is the Super Bowl for the NBA. So we are coming in. We are taking your arena. We are taking your city. We are blocking off these streets. We are doing all the things that everybody in this city would love to gripe about.
Right.
I just hope. Like, for instance, my son's grandmother is, you know, not an NBA fan, but immediately she's like, what events are you guys going to, or what are you, and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know as much as everybody else doesn't know. And then on top of that, you have the cover of death and loss and celebration of that person and all the other things that go into it. This is, I don't think this is going to be one that we soon forget. And then on top of it, we've got the lack of representation from the city.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even last year, I mean, Kemba went to the All-Star game because Kemba was a primetime performer on a bad team. And you thought that, okay, that's the blueprint. That's
good
the
enough,
template.
Though. Good enough.
Good enough. Though. Good enough. Right. They were battling for, they're in the 8 to 10 range.
Yeah.
But the Bulls are too. And there's
technically,
all I'm saying is they are too. Don't, and trust me, this is the first time you're listening. Let me tell you something right now. I'm far from a Bulls shill, right? But at the same time, it would have been cool in this an All-Star game that's going to be remembered for a very long time for whatever reasons.
Right.
We don't even have the foresight to kind of tell what reasons this will be remembered for, but we know it's going to be remembered.
Yeah.
For whatever reasons. There's not going to be a Bulls jersey on that All-Star floor on the big game on Sunday. And I think that matters. I think that matters in the sense that I wouldn't have wanted to push Zach in there if he wasn't an All-Star performer. But I do understand why he's not there.
Yes.
Like, I'm not this crazy person who's like, Bulls, 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 Zach, Zach, Zach. I've even talked to Zach about this when he's warming up after he's finished, like, you know, hoping for you, hoping the best, like, you know, continued success, stay healthy, all that good stuff, and I hope you get the nod. But when it all came down, I wasn't very surprised.
Right.
Because you have the record you have and the national reputation that he doesn't have. I don't think a lot of people, like you said, Rob, and like you said, Matt, a lot of people have tuned the Bulls out nationally.
Yeah.
Hell, locally. So if you're not watching every night what Zach is doing, you're like, oh, he's a chucker on a bad team.
Right.
He's a guy who scores a lot of points on a bad team when that may not be the case.
But the local people that watch every game, I don't think hold that belief.
No doubt.
But that's the point, is I think the disparity between local and national with him is about as pronounced as
anybody
any player
in
the league.
Because guess
really.
What?
Any important,
you know how
any
many nationally televised games the Bulls had between the start of the season and the All-Star break, also the same number they have all season long? One.
Please believe I took note of that.
Because even for a team that was expected to be bad like Atlanta, some people thought, you know, with that young talent they added in the draft, a couple of free agent moves, that Atlanta would take a leap forward this year. They haven't. But because Trae Young is such a watchable young star in the
league. From the moment he came into the league.
Yeah. The Hawks have, you know, umpteen times the number of nationally televised games the Bulls do.
Look at the Pelicans. Same thing. Even without Zion.
Who worked around that organization in the same capacity but on the radio side.
Yeah.
I was a pre- and post-game host for 1 year for Atlanta Hawks basketball. And I'd see some of the same things that I see with this team in terms of these salespeople taking people through tours of where their seats will be if they buy season tickets and all these things that you see, and you're like, kids getting free Atlanta Hawks jerseys because they needed to cultivate a new fan base.
Right.
I mean, these people have lived in Atlanta for years, and still it's an event town. If you're not the event, we're not coming.
Right.
Simple as that. When the Knicks come, when the Lakers come, when the Celtics come, we'll fill this bitch up with all the out-of-town fans that you may want.
Right.
But night to night, you're going to get 12,000, right? And it's crazy to kind of see that with this franchise, because Trae Young, from the moment he was in the draft process, it was like, okay, this is Steph wannabe. If you hated, it was a Steph
wannabe. There was skepticism.
If you loved, absolutely. It was like, okay, I'm looking forward to seeing what this guy can bring. And not only has he brought it, but he's brought it to a level that Steph didn't bring it in his first 3 years. Let's be real about it.
Yeah.
Like, Steph was the kid who had bad ankles that Derek was killing. That's how we knew him in Chicago.
Yeah.
Right? Derek had a problem with Jeff Teague, Steph
BRP,
Curry.
You're going to go crying to my pillow.
Right. Steph Curry, Jeff Teague, Brandon Jennings was going to get cooked on any night that you saw them at the United Center because Derek had some maniacal, ridiculous thing that I can't wait for when his 30 for 30 is done. Like, we're going to find out all the guys that he hated, but he didn't talk about.
But then he'll get killed by, like, Rodney Stuckey. and like Rodney Bubois.
We don't mention those.
Put down the mic, Michael Redstand.
We don't mention those, Tony. Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Gill, our digital content producer here at NBC Sports Chicago. Yeah, we don't mention that, Tony. But no, seriously, like, it's coming back here, and Zach LaVine isn't involved. Yeah. I think the Coby White thing was more of a shock to me than the Zach thing.
It was a shock, but then when I looked at the Team USA roster, I was like, why am I shocked by this?
Nobody,
like, this team is
stacked.
Nobody
made that roster you felt did so less deservingly than Coby White.
No. I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but it really did seem like...
A lot of guys who didn't struggle in December. The entire month.
And as excited as Bulls fans are, you know, they've been clamoring at us on Outsiders all season long. Start Coby White. Look at his numbers.
Still a kid in this league.
He's still so inconsistent. His field goal percentage for the season is dreadful. And you can talk about whether it's Coby or any other player on this team, them being not the beneficiary, but somebody who's been suffering from the scheme that they are being coached to play and forced to play.
Right.
That's a problem for Coby because they've eliminated his mid-range game entirely that worked so well for him at UNC. But, I mean, the numbers are the numbers. He didn't deserve a spot.
Imagine being a general NBA fan on the outside, or NBA media person, or anybody on the outside looking in of Coby, and you're not seeing those spurts that he does have.
Right.
I think he has one 20-point game since November,
which is, you know.
We saw what we saw in the first 3 weeks, and like, uh-oh, this is about to be a thing.
Yeah.
And the league was like, hold on.
Yeah. Like,
we've done this before. Right?
One fourth quarter where Coby sings a bunch of threes.
Right.
Bulls fans are like, he's the greatest ever.
All of a sudden, the league waves that magic wand and Michael Carter Williams appears.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Shout out to Coby. He's not going to be Michael Carter Williams.
I think we all love Coby.
One of the players that I've liked the least in my NBA viewing
time. How dare you besmirch a rookie of the year like that?
You don't know the look that I'm giving to you. the people that understand and have followed the career know how I feel about MCW and his softish, very El DeBarge-like ways.
Four picks before Giannis, MCW went.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Well, I don't even talk about Giannis. Have you gone back and looked at that draft? I called Giannis, and Tony can attest to this, and even if he doesn't, I'm putting it on his chest. I called Giannis the moment I saw him and called him Mega Pippen. And then I saw him at the Summer League.
You might have undersold him.
That was the first. Exactly. I said mega, though.
Yeah.
Mega means like a seven-point bump. As opposed to
Stacey calling Hutch Pip Jr.
The ghost of Scottie Pippen. There's a lot of guys who would love to, you know.
There's a lot of guys who would. Yeah, yeah. Who's the Coby stopper? Ruben Patterson. There's a lot of guys who did well for a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden, like, yeah. No, the moment I saw Giannis, I was like, that is mega Scottie Pippen. He's going to be put in all the positions that Pip would have been put in if this was a forward-thinking league. Give the small forward the ball, let him run around, and have fun with it. And we chided Jason Kidd when he was like, I'm going to play this guy at point guard at 6'11". And everybody's like, you're an idiot, Jason. He might have been. But they cast him off, and all of a sudden he is the best player in the game. But no, man, I mean, the Coby White thing, Wendell not being able to play because of the ankle.
That's tough, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how Luka Doncic and the Mavs handle this situation.
Why play in that game?
He's missed.
Whether it's Luka or Trae Young, why play in that game?
He missed 11 days the last time he had a similar injury, and it's right up to the point where the All-Star game is getting ready to happen. So it's like, do you want to play in the Coby All-Star game with an injury, or do you care about your team making a long playoff run? But it's just this entire thing, the Zach thing, the Coby thing, this entire season. Like, when I signed on here at NBC Sports Chicago,
Sweet summer child.
Shout out to Kevin Cross and all the people who were involved in that. But when I signed on, I was like, yo, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't lie to anybody. I didn't watch a lot of Bulls basketball last year. For the first time in my life.
Shocked to my core.
For the first time in my life, I got in maybe about 15, 20 games. Because it was like the understanding of I can let go of this season. And I can't let go of this team. I'll never be able to let go of this team as a fan because of what my childhood was and what I want my kid's childhood to be. I want him to be a Bulls fan. I want him to go through the bad moments and finally triumph, right? Like, I was watching on Sports Channel, you know, Jim Durham and Johnny Red Kerr talk about teams that I knew weren't good, but they were going to be good. And I was, like, 2 years off. Like, I really started understanding when I in 88, 89. when they was getting thumped by the Pistons, and mm-hmm. you're watching Larry Bird and Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale and all these guys. You're watching Dominique. Dominique was my favorite player as a kid. I'm like, I'd love to have an Atlanta situation where they got a star player mm-hmm. like that, and they keep bumping their head, but there's something to root for. And then 91 happened, right? And 90 happened even, because in 90, everybody's like, okay, this is about to happen. This is the reason why I want my son to be a fan of this team. So without any representation, like, this would be my son. Like, I guess I'm looking through a lot of things as of late through my kid's eyes, because this is his first kind of team mm-hmm. where he's like, okay, I understand what life is and basketball is. I know you like to watch this dance, so we'll watch it together. That's why the Kobe thing hit me so hard, because I was with him and nobody else was around for 8 hours.
Yeah.
And we were just taking it all in. And I was like, yo, this is crazy. I still need to be a dad. I still need to be here for my guy, but I'm going through it as well. This season was going to be the first season where it's like, oh, look at this. And then I get the gig, and there's so much fanfare. Maybe this team's an eighth seed and all that. And I was like, ah, they might miss the playoffs, but it'll be fun. For this season to be as tough as it's been, and then you get to this point in the season where at least you should have a representative in something.
Right.
They got a skills challenge that no one gives a damn about.
You might get Derrick Rose.
In the country.
Derrick Rose. Exactly. D-Rose gives a damn about.
Well, yeah. D-Rose and Kendall are going. We know.
Did you see what D-Rose did in the skills challenge?
Yeah. We did, Kendall. By the way, I hope Kendall never listens to this, but I love the fact that after every game, we get to the post game and we hear the outsiders checking their mics, and I'm sitting there like, please don't let them be on tape for this or listening to this, because Kendall's like, hey, is Matt Peck listening? Can he hear us? And I've actually hoped that Manny and Dan Vega, our producers, would be like, no, they can't hear us. I hope that they can never hear us throughout the rest of this season,
right?
Because it's become the longest running, least funny bit. I love Kendall. It's become the longest running, least funny bit about, did you see what D-Rose did? And I had to go to Twitter with it the other day. And this is what we've been relegated to. To a skills challenge. And that nobody's going to watch. We got a dunk contest where I'm rooting for Pat Connaughton because I'm that guy. Yes, I want to see a white man triumph.
44-inch vertical,
for
man.
Once.
It's not impossible.
For once, yes. Impossible. For 6 years deep.
You know what? You're going to watch white man can't jump to
yes,
set yourself
yes,
up
yes.
leading up we to
are,
a dunk contest?
We are 6-7 years deep into a new world, and damn it, I'm tired of white men being held down. Pat Connaughton, I will get your jersey and wear it all-star weekend.
On behalf of white men everywhere, we greatly appreciate it.
Yes.
Yeah. This
yes,
Pat. It's a tear in my eye right
it's
now.
Time. Yeah. Brent Barry's been waiting for one of y'all. You know? But seriously, though, this All-Star Weekend is going to be surreal. It's going to be weird. The fact that there are no Bulls and there are no – there's really very little Chicago element involved. And we'll find out if Zach – I mean, let's be real.
A three-point contest.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about that. Like, does that give you any kind of consolation? Solace,
absolutely not.
Anything? Nah,
I get excited about three-point contests inside three-point contests, if that makes any sense. Like, I'm never like, oh, these are the guys that are going to be shooting. I'm sitting there like, oh, yeah, he's a good shooter. And then I watch him like, oh, he's getting hot. And you know what the three-point contest has become for me? I have become the guy who was like, oh, there's another home run. And there's another home run. Like, it's the home run contest.
Home run
Yeah. The dunk contest. I've skipped so many dunk contests that I'm ashamed to mention it.
Yeah.
And then when I do see, like, I check back in for Zach and Aaron Gordon. And that's it kind of changed. And everybody's like, oh, look at that. I still feel like there's a few things that I will never go back on when it comes to LeBron. One is the fact that he didn't shoot 80% as a free throw shooter. That's, to me, like, to be a superior wing.
How can you be known as one of the greatest or the greatest? If you can't make your free throws.
Still can't, though.
Well, where are we going?
Yeah, come on, Peck. What are we doing out here?
You started.
All of a sudden, yeah, it's the Bulls Talk Outsiders podcast. Yeah. Bringing that energy here. No, I'm with you, though. And on top of it, it's the fact that, what were we talking about? The dunk contest. Like, the fact that he was never involved in the dunk contest. So, like, the dunk contest every single year, I was like, well, we'll see. Right, who was the kid from Utah, the one that nobody knew, who jumped over like a painting or something like that?
Jeremy Evans.
Yeah. And that was the year where I was like, you know what, guys, I'm done voting. You know what I mean? You know those people who can't wait to tell you that I don't vote, right? And you're like, you're messing up all our lives. For the dunk contest, I was like, I'm done voting. I understand why people don't vote. Like, this is why. And then Zach and Aaron happened. I'm like, yo,
yeah,
they, you know what they did? They watched Team Fight Brothers. They watched Overtime. They watched House of Highlights. They watched all these things that these kids are ingesting on social media that we don't watch,
yeah,
or that we're not a part of. These outside the NBA dunkers are providing so much content for these guys who actually have the athleticism to do it, but maybe not the gall or wherewithal, the showmanship to do it. And Zach is one of Zach brought the dunk contest back. It was a 15 to 16, somewhere around there.
Well, he won two in a row, 15 and 16. 15 but and the 16. Gordon one was 16. So
okay. Yeah, 15, he brought it back with the Space Jam jersey. 16, Aaron Gordon, you know, sat on a ball pretty much.
My God.
And put it, and we're sitting there like, okay, it's back. And every time I've been hit with the it's back, I've been let down for years after
right.
that. So now that Zach may or may not be a part of this, we'll see if some news breaks by the time you hear this. We'll see. But it's just, you know, this All-Star Week was supposed to be so special, and I think it still will be because of the memories we'll take from it and what happened here in Chicago. But for the reasons that we set up going into it, I think it's going to fall short for a lot of Chicago fans.
Right.
Because people are here for a party.
Yeah. Like
people have planned this for a year now. People find out the site and start planning, just like the Super Bowl, like any big event.
Right.
And now they're coming here to kind of have a somber note, which is necessary and respectful, but at the same time, I think for 32 years, 31 years for this not to happen, no Chicago representation, and then we have to sit and think about a life without Kobe in the NBA,
yeah,
and especially on that week. It's going to be different.
And I think, you know, you may feel differently about it depending on what generation of Bulls fan you are. I mean, right, you know, you talk about 88 being the last time this happened and how at that time the Bulls had a young star in MJ, a team that was on the rise, still hadn't beaten – dethrone anybody yet,
right,
but a young MJ who
was coming,
winning the dunk contest at the old Chicago Stadium.
Second one he shouldn't have
and
won, though.
It, I mean, well, yeah, that's debatable.
Yeah. It's not.
All right. shocking to hear from a guy who just was talking about
right,
Dominique.
I was about to say, which guy you going to be out here, Matt? Yeah, come on. Dominique won that. We all know it. Let's stop it. That's that free throw line dunk. That had been pulled out the box for the second year in a row. Like, we saw it the year before, and everybody was like, oh, look, it's the free throw. Meanwhile, Dominique is tearing down buildings.
Okay, the Dominique Talk podcast. But no, it goes back to what you were saying earlier about how the league comes in and takes over a city All-Star Weekend, yeah, and how Bulls fans might not actually get to up close and personally witness what's going on. And it's part of the reasons that the Reinsdorfs are on record saying this. The reason that it's been 32 years is that Jerry didn't like that element of it, about how you just have to give up your city and your stadium,
your season ticket holders
to the league.
Yeah.
Season ticket holders lose out on something that he would wish that they could be a part of. So that's the most disappointing element of this to me, as we try to get excited for All-Star Weekend. The last All-Star Weekend in Chicago, we had a young MJ, an on-the-rise Bulls team, and a representative in the game itself and the dunk contest. Who knows? It might be another 32 years before Chicago hosts again.
Mm.
And right now, the state of the Bulls, I mean, it's nowhere near
it's
the level of excitement that it was the last time this was here.
It's underwhelming, to say the least.
Yeah, and such a disparity from the preseason expectations, too. And just tough because, I mean, we talk about the national to local disparity. It just feels like, to me, like we talked about Trae Young being on a bad team, but still finding his way to having that cachet. Zach, that first month of the season, when they get off to a slow start against the soft schedule, and his numbers, like, they're obviously all-star level now, but they weren't that first month.
Mm-mm.
And it feels all the more, I don't know what the word is, empty or it stings a little bit more because we've seen him get to that level, but it seems like people kind of had their minds made up about him and about the team from the beginning. Yeah. And again, as you said, though, it's hard to quibble too much with the bottom of that roster. Everyone's deserving.
You know what I've been telling people about Zach? Because I, you know, keep it funky. When Zach was going through the offer sheet process with Sacramento, I was like, he's empty calories. Like, you know, are you going to win with this guy? Is the question you should be asking before you talk about fighting to pay for him. And I understood where the Bulls were. They needed a star, and they saw a star potential. And he has star potential. And watching him every single game, you see the things that stars have. You just see it inconsistently enough to make you think, like, okay, this is why, right? But consistently enough, this is the guy that has been the entire Bulls offense for a couple of seasons now. And answer the bell. right? I mean, we don't see Zach sitting out with nagging things. He plays through nagging things.
He's played every game this year.
Yeah.
Two or three Bulls on the roster?
Yes. He's got a shoulder right now that he's dealing with. He's got an ankle that he's dealing with. And I think he's got some issues going on also in his lower extremities that might come to light later. But I've got a new appreciation for Zach LaVine. And I've been telling a lot of people who – my friends and family who were like, why should I watch the Bulls? And I keep telling them, you should watch, because this is the guy, no matter where you end up, hopefully you end up in a great place. Hopefully they're championship contenders in 4 or 5 years. But no matter what, this is either the guy that was going to be the bridge to the next contention or part of all those times that you got angry about.
Yeah.
And was like, God, I can't believe this is happening with this team, and this used to be my favorite team. Like, there's been a lot of guys in Chicago sports history who've kind of bridged you in terms of your bitching and riding the waves and all that other thing, like answered the bell for you.
Yeah.
And I think Zach, for this franchise, like, we remember Kirk and Ben and Andres.
Mm-hmm.
You're right? We remember Lou, but Lou actually got to play in some big games. Right?
Yeah.
Kirk got to play in some big games, but by that time, Derek was phasing everyone out
right.
that was in the backcourt.
But the
right?
baby Bulls before Derek, I mean, they had big games. They
Tyson, Eddie. Yeah. This is the thing. Guys like Tyson and Eddie were supposed to be, I think, what Zach is going through now, where it's like you see somebody building towards something, and then you hopefully you can pay them off. Because
right.
more so than a payoff for us as fans, because we're going to be fans no matter what. These guys have short stints in their lives where they are important to a city and important to a franchise. And I don't think we take into context enough how much letting down a franchise that either traded for you or drafted you means to these guys. Like, it means a lot to these dudes.
Yeah.
That's why these guys are so broken up when they get traded. Like, when you get traded in the middle of your rookie deal, that is a wake-up call like none other. D'Angelo Russell wouldn't have been Brooklyn D'Angelo Russell if L.A. D'Angelo Russell didn't have to die.
Right. Absolutely.
Right? So, as a fan, I've told all my friends and all my people, because they ask me about Zach. Like, they say, what's going on with the Bulls?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, what do you think about Zach? And I tell them, my opinion has changed watching him and then being around it a little bit more, going, pregame stuff.
Because how he conducts himself, too,
exactly.
in the locker room with media.
He's
around
a pro.
His teammates.
Yeah. He's been a pro since he was 17, 18 years old.
Yeah.
Like, even at UCLA, you go back and hear stories about how he conducted himself. And that UCLA situation after Ben Howland was just a group of teams that were rolling over and fighting each other, fighting people on the campus, fighting everybody, just being upset and unhappy about life and basketball. And then they had a kid who everybody compared to Russell Westbrook for the first time since Russell Westbrook, and it was Zach LaVine. They were like, let's put him at the point.
Yeah.
Because the last time we saw this kind of energy and athleticism, it was in Russell.
Yeah.
Let's do that with him. And he's like, I'm only going to be here for a year, so you guys do whatever you want to do. And you can even hear Ryan Saunders talk about him in glowing terms, like saying how he treated everybody in the building, how he treated – Rob, you were asking questions in that scrum. Like, these are the things that I hope fans understand that they are witnessing, because it's not just a guy going out getting numbers.
Right.
It's a guy that has to hold the whole franchise on his shoulders, and every time they want to lose, he's going to take the hit.
Right.
Robbie Markkanen doesn't take the hit.
Right.
Wendell Carter Jr. doesn't take the hit. He is known as the guy that the Bulls are losing because of, and I don't think it's fair, so I think it's best that we paint this picture while we can before he's either gone or he gets old enough to where we're appreciating his game at a different level and then saying,
right.
I remember what Zach was back in the early 20s.
And I think like the part that's most frustrating for me to watch as I try and appreciate everything that Zach is trying to do for this team, this season that's going nowhere, are the Zach doubters and haters that are out there among this Bulls fan base. You know, they talk to us all the time.
And they got enough ammo, too.
And it's the two elements that exist. You were talking about empty calories player and the detractors, the naysayers that also pair that with being not a leader.
Right.
He can't be the leader of a good team.
Right.
And they say, oh, look at his slumped shoulders after that play on the court, or look at how, dejected he is sitting on the bench. Or,
he's a human.
Or it's like, how would you handle that if you were Zach LaVine and, right. and you are being forced to play the way that you're being forced to play this season?
Sunday afternoon's game when Jim Boylan called that timeout that the Toronto Raptors – broadcasters.
But every fan and every media person watching that game had the exact same reaction.
We are all Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
We are all Stacey King.
I mean, come on.
These are the things. these are the things that, like I said, I hope Bulls fans now who are listening to this podcast or running around barbershops or grocery stores who are talking about this team understand that, you know, no matter how you feel about Zach, Zach is important for this realm of Bullsdom that you may be living in. Like, when you do win, if that happens, when this team does get back to contention, like, every once in a while you catch a supernova. You know, you catch a Derrick Rose, you catch a Michael Jordan. But more than not, these teams are built of people that you have to trade away. Like, you asked Houston people who understood what Kyle Lowry and Goran Dragic meant to that team before they had to go get Dwight Howard and James Harden to make this thing real, right? Like, to make it seem like – and look at it. James Harden, MVP, 37 a game, all these things. The Houston Rockets are no closer to a championship than they were when they got him. That's why when people talk about – they're not.
Okay.
Because when they lost to the Warriors, when they lost to the Warriors, right?
Yeah.
That game six that they lost to the Warriors, everyone was expecting James Harden to finally – be James Harden.
Right.
And he showed
LeBron
you
that, game six, Boston.
Exactly.
That moment.
And he showed you know, for whether it was a concussion that people have rumored that he had or the
wear and tear of a season.
Wear and tear, things. Whatever happens, there are so many more stories to be told in the teams that don't make it to the championship than the teams that do, especially in the NBA. Because the teams that do usually have the best player or players on them, and the teams that don't have a player that everyone in that city or everyone in the league or everybody in that conference thought, okay, this might be a guy that I got to worry about. Zach LaVine may never ascend to that being that kind of guy, but what I would caution as I've grown older, what I would caution NBA fans to think is, appreciate the guys who weren't those guys who still had that shit on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like the Bernard Kings of the world. You know what I mean? Like those, the Dominique Wilkins of the world who score all these points and everybody in the building knows who's going to get the ball. And whether you win or lose, that guy's going to have to wear it. And
right.
Some guys wear it and say, to hell with it. Some guys wear it and go, this really bothers me. And whatever that role that is being played, Zach LaVine is that guy until this team turns it over. Right? Because we found a lot out about Lowry Markkanen this year. Oh. Whether you like it or not, whether you want to put it on an injury or not, we found out the tears when expectations bring a lot out of people, man. And I think Zach LaVine, his trajectory and the expectation levels and then the team's performance,
we're
stuck in this weird place. So I'll ask you guys, what's next for Zach LaVine? Not only if you're Zach LaVine, if you're the Bulls, if you're other teams, like, what do you think happens here? I won't even say in the next week because the trade deadline is happening this week.
Right.
What do you think happens here in the next year or so if you're in your best guesstimation as NBA observers when it comes to Zach LaVine?
Yeah, that's tough. I think obviously it's probably too early to make any declarative things this week, but you look at it, you play around in the trade machine, like you do things like that, and he – for the level of player that we're talking about right now, is on a very affordable
great
contract,
deal.
Great deal for the time being. What's he up after next year? Or is it?
No, he's got two more years.
He's got two more years. Yeah. So, I mean, that right
at
there.
Under 20 each year.
Yeah. And it highlights something that is uniquely kind of unfulfilling about the season to this point is that as much as Zach is capable of being that kind of bridge player, this team right now is not that quote unquote team on the rise where you feel like that next step is imminent. You
it's
don't
not
feel
the
like
New Orleans, it's not the Sacramento's, the
or
Dallas's.
Like the Clippers last year, the Nets last year, where we're in a position to add that last
See,
piece.
That's the thing, Rob. I thought this team was in the position to build a nest
for
the next guy. Like Giannis is when Giannis understands after Giannis loses in the Eastern Conference Finals this year, probably. And if not, in the finals.
You have so many little takes that you just embed into everything that you
It's only so much you can count on Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah.
But after Giannis loses in the finals or Eastern Conference Finals this year, they're not going to win the championship. He's going to be under a lot of LeBron pressure. And the LeBron pressure has been felt since LeBron felt it. Steph felt it too. After you're done being cute and hitting all the jump shots and your ankles do whatever they do, when you going to win? I think Giannis is getting very close. He's on the precipice of, okay, we've marveled. What's next? And I thought the Bulls were putting themselves, and they still might be. Well, you got to win.
Yeah.
Like Brooklyn did with Kenny Atkinson last year. The Bulls, I thought, would put themselves in a decent position where they can be the nest for a team that could, a player, they'd be like, all right, I can go there. Like, Giannis is going to find out that people don't want to come to Milwaukee to live.
Right.
LeBron found that out with Cleveland.
Yeah.
Like, LeBron was trying his hardest to have Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and if not Chris Bosh, Amari Stoudemire come to Cleveland and say, hey, guys, let's win a championship.
Right.
And D-Wade was like,
how about you come to Miami?
Right.
I'm good on that.
Right.
It's like that YouTube video. My economy's based on LeBron James.
Right. It's downtown's very nice,
down
guys.
Cleveland town, everyone.
Yeah. Joakim just resonating in everyone's head. You know what I'm saying? And I think Milwaukee's going to feel that soon with Giannis. And no matter how much you say Giannis likes to live low, Giannis is in L.A. every summer.
Yeah.
For a reason. He likes to walk around. He likes to be Giannis. He likes to not be bothered with. He likes his restaurants. He likes his brothers around him.
Yeah.
So there are cities who are gearing up right now. Like, Pat Riley is about to pull it again. Oh. I don't know if anybody's watching.
Oh, of course.
Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler. And he's going to have to talk to Jimmy.
Right.
But Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Duncan Robinson, Kendrick Nunn, and Eric Spoelstra. He's going to put all these things on the table and say, this is what we got. I thought the Bulls were getting ready to put themselves in that position this year and say, hey, we got Lowry, we got Zach, we got, you know, whoever you need, and we got whoever you don't need.
But
and it's Chicago.
Guess
and
what?
I think this year was a year that got tricked off.
You're talking about the difference between an organization like the Miami Heat, who have Pat Riley at the helm, who has tremendous respect across the NBA. He threw rings on a table, and LeBron said,
I'm here.
I'll grab the next flight.
Yeah.
And what the Bulls have done. Because it's not just, oh, wow, you know, the Heat landed Jimmy Butler, and maybe they're better than people thought they would be. But as you said, everyone's kind of anticipating, all right, what's the next big splash move that Riley's going to make his team stay in the picture? The Bulls swung and missed on the big three in 2010. They've largely swung and missed in free agency. And you can blame some of it on Chicago's a cold weather city or not wanting to play in the shadow of Michael Jordan or all those other things. There is also a much bigger piece of that puzzle, which is, do people around the NBA respect the
Can I trust you with the next 6 years of my life?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, let's keep it funky. Like, these are the things. This is people see NBA players walking up and down Chicago streets in the summer. It's not a summer sport.
Right.
They love coming here during the summer. They don't have to live here during the winter. So on top of that, can I trust you with the next 4 or 5 years of my life? That's why the LeBron thing, when it was happening, the Bulls were a lot closer than I think a lot of people realized.
They were close.
They were one of three teams that got a meeting with, an actual meeting with him, not just Maverick and Rich Paul. Like, Maverick and Rich Paul was going to a lot of meetings without LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that hotel that they were held up outside of, Philly and all these other teams that went there, Brooklyn, they did not meet with LeBron, right? Like, there were three teams that met with him. And the fact that this is getting ready to happen again with the best player in the league in the East.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the East is cool. The East is building. But there are players who want to stay in the East because they know all they got to go through is Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. No knock on them. But they don't think that that's not AD and LeBron. Right? That's not Kawhi and Paul. That's not Dave who could put 50 on your head for an entire series.
And going back to All-Star Weekend and how disappointing Bulls fans are to not have representation there, that's Kyrie and KD talking in the tunnels of All-Star Weekend. Hey, they got two max slots.
People forget about that KD
part. You know, Zach LaVine might be at the United Center with like a media pass around his neck or something, but like, hey, guess what? If you're not playing in the All-Star game, you're not having conversations with Giannis and those other All-Stars about what happens next. Where are you playing next?
That's such a great point.
And Chicago? None of those conversations.
I was
next
thinking
weekend.
About that last week, how the actual experience of practice, like the practice at Wintrust or is it United Center?
Advocate Center.
It's an Advocate Center.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying the actual All Star practice.
I think
All Star practice is the same place the Rising Stars game is, so they can sprint out there. I may not be right on that. Tony is checking this for us right now, but no matter where the practice is, Zach would have had a chance to be a part of the 12 to 13 to 14 best players in the game, what has been decided as the top coaching staff because of record in the game, and in part upon them,
Wintrust.
It's at Wintrust, like I thought. It's down the street from me. I'm looking forward to covering that event because, you get the dancing, you get the shots put up, but you get guys saying like, yo, like, this ain't it for me.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah.
Like, tell me how Chicago is.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be there.
That's your ambassador.
What we have right now is Thad Young, one of the most respected veterans in the league, saying, I've been here for 3 months. Get me out of here.
Yeah. Come to L.A. with me.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Or Philly with me or wherever he goes. Yeah. I mean, this is all speculative or whatever. But, I think this is an important time for Zach. And we've seen this before where I don't think, and this is the other thing that scares me. Zach has, as celebrated Chicago athletes go, he hasn't really entrenched himself in this city the way that other guys who have been here for shorter amounts of time have. And I think what happened last year with the practice fiasco and him pushing and the organization saying, no, 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 we riding with that guy. Mm-hmm. And Zach was like, cool, basketball player it is. And I think these are the kinds of things that lead up to unfortunate things happening in terms of transactions or guys saying, because let's face it, these first 45, 50 games or so, Zach was like, all right, this guy's not playing as well as I thought he would play.
Right.
This team isn't very good. I got the All-Star game, though. Keep hunting.
Right.
Keep going out there. Show Bradley Beal. Show Kemba Walker. Man, scored 42 in Charlotte. You know, like, I know Kemba isn't there anymore, right, but, like, in front of Jordan. Like,
right,
these are the things, right? Go up against the Cavs and score 21 in the fourth quarter. Because when people have big games, like the 62 that LeBron got against the Charlotte Bobcats at the time.
Mm.
You know, we go back and watch that game, like, yo, LeBron scored 60, but it's against the Bobcats. Nobody cares.
Right.
Like, when you have these huge games where you get 20 in a quarter or you're hitting game-winning shots, the opposition doesn't matter as much. And then you get to that point where they don't select you. So now what I'm really looking for is, like, what Zach do we – and it's not because I think he's a sucker or he's about to let go of the rope or whatever, but what Zach do we see after such a letdown? Because this is a letdown. He's going to say all the right things. Zach LaVine, these last 3 weeks, if you've noticed, and maybe longer than that, straying away from the offense, actually going out there and not only trying to win games, but show people I am a reason why we're winning games.
Since the Charlotte game, really.
Yes.
His numbers have exploded. And he's
29 a game for the last, what?
His month of January was insane.
Yeah.
He's one of the five best scorers in the NBA the last month.
Yeah.
For and a you, month, not you, a week.
And you can quibble with things that you see defensively, but he's making the effort on that end. He's undoubtedly gotten better. He's undoubtedly distributing when he, you know, deems it appropriate.
7-7 last game.
Yeah.
7 assists, 7 rebounds.
In a game that, as we mentioned KC earlier, he wrote that streak of 20-point games, 17 in a row, ended that game.
Yeah.
But he said after the game, like, I was just trying to play the right way. I'm trying to, like, do this, this, and that.
I would hate for him to become someone's finished product. And I think that has a decent enough chance of happening in the next year or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
then does that just start this whole thing over then?
That's the thing.
It depends.
Zach is in a very interesting position right now because if you're Zach, you know that this front office doesn't have very many trades/coaching hires before things have to get reshuffled. So if you're Zach, you can use that as leverage. Like, I know you guys need me, and I know that I don't want to lose anymore. So what's up? So if I'm Zach, I'm pressing every button. I'm sorry, man. Because you are 6 years into an NBA career where a lot of people are realizing, like Dwayne Wade tweeting that out, that happened for a reason.
Yeah.
Like the NBA dudes are realizing what he's turning into. He may not be a number one on a championship team, but he's going to be a damn good player on a championship team if he ever makes it to that.
Right.
So what's next? And I think he's in that what's next phase. And he's also – Zach, I got a chance to sit down with him when I called Giannis Mega Pippen at the Summer League. He sat down, and I've never been around a more confident 19, 20-year-old in my life.
Yeah.
He had his family. He had his mom and his sister with him. And he sat down and we talked or whatever. And he said all the right things during the interview, but outside of the interview, you know, we'd be BSing a little bit. And I could tell, like, if this dude isn't going to be something, he's already carrying himself like he's going to be something. And I think those things have come to the surface now for him. And the hard work that he's done is paying off, but the wins aren't there. And in this league, you've always been pigeonholed with this is what you do. If you're the best player, you affect winning at a rate where we can call you the best player.
Yeah.
But we've seen Mitch Richmond, right? We've seen Glenn Rice. We've seen a lot of guys who have been terrific players who winning has been spotty with. And I would hate for Zach LaVine to be that guy, you know, after Minnesota, after Chicago, to then leave here and not be appreciated as, you know, a damn good player. Maybe not a championship winning because of caliber player, but I think he's starting to reach that level of understanding, like, what's next for me. And I hate if the Bulls would get caught in the crossroads of him having to make a decision and them not putting enough around him in the times that he was here.
Yeah, going into the seventh season, he's thinking, you know, what is his legacy going to look like? Especially, and it's not going to slow down in terms of, you know, guys coming after, you mm-hmm. know, and overtaking his spot. Like, if the All-Star season wasn't this year, like, next year is going to be even harder. Because you got, you know, guys trying to make names for themselves
so?
That are
like
that
I
are
think he put himself on the map. Once you get called a snub, people start being like, "All right, I don't want to snub him anymore."
And yeah. I mean, with
like Damian Lillard started bitching 3 years ago.
How long did it take? Or like Rudy Gobert is another good recent
right.
example. Like,
Dame made it very public that he was not happy that he wasn't regarded as one of the best three guards in the game. And he
I mean, but he was winning though.
Yeah, like, very true.
Like,
yeah.
but he was winning. I mean, if Zach is thinking yeah. about his long-term career, you know, like he should be going into his seventh season next year and in the middle of his sixth season, like, he has to, one, trust that they're going to do what's best for him. And I don't see how you can give them that trust at this level. But also, again, other names are going to pop up, are starting to pop up. Mm-hmm. Like Ja Morant, you mentioned guys you know who are affecting winning. Yeah. Memphis was going to be extreme
gonna be
trash,
right.
yeah.
you know, going into this year. And then Ja's like, nah, I win now.
Him and Jared Jackson.
I win now.
Dylan Brooks. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And same thing with Zion. Like, for the little we've seen him, he's going to affect a lot of yeah. winning going
right.
forward.
Yeah.
And obviously both of those guys are in the West, but there are names that are coming up that are going to put themselves on the map while Zach is still in this kind of purgatory. Like, what is my NBA legacy going
to
be like?
And for Bulls fans that wanted to see Zach make that All-Star team this season and would love to see him make it as a Bull still next season, the tricky part is what Jason was talking about, which is maybe Zach isn't the piece number one on a good team that can actually be 500 or better. Maybe he's more suited to be number two, and I would probably agree with that based on what we've seen.
I mean, we've seen Dwayne Wade be a number two.
If Zach LaVine, you know what I'm saying? If Zach LaVine's bosses get their shit together and actually give us a decent roster that can win NBA games more often than they lose them, maybe Zach's usage percentage goes down. Maybe Zach's scoring goes down. Maybe all the things that go into being an all-star right. caliber player, Zach's not a one-man wrecking crew on a ragtag team going nowhere.
Right.
But at the same time, guess what? Again, it goes back to all those reserve selections. Where do they come from? Winning teams.
Yeah. I think the NBA catches a lot of young dudes in a lot of different realms in their life, right? Because would Kawhi Leonard be Kawhi Leonard if immediately he was asked to be the face and representative of a team, right? Like, Kawhi, we see how Kawhi Leonard deals with or doesn't deal with the media now. Can you imagine Kawhi Leonard coming out of San Diego State at 23 and on a team that needed him to score every night instead of being around Tim and Manu and Tony and Greg Popovich? Like,
yeah.
certain guys get caught favorably and not so favorably so in different points in their lives. I think Zach LaVine, I've talked to Sam Mitchell about Zach when he was coaching him with the Minnesota Timberwolves, and out of the three guys, he was the one that would come up in conversation most. In my 2 years in Atlanta when I was doing the pre- and post-game show with Sam and, you know, hanging out with Sam and just trying to get any information and just knowledge off of him as I possibly could. He's a coach of the year. It's a guy who played with Reggie, played against Mike. You know, it's a guy who played across seas for 5-6 years and, like, earned his way back into the league. So I appreciate his perspective. The stories he told me about P.J. Tucker and Kevin Garnett and all kinds of guys that he's been around. And he says Zach LaVine was special, but Zach, it was going to come a little bit later than everybody else wanted it to come. You know, we see 19, 20-year-old dudes, and we don't realize how young they are and how much. This is a stage, mm-hmm. and you're asked to perform 82 nights a year. And if you don't hit the right note or if you're not ready for a performance, nobody cares.
Yeah.
And I think we find that out. And I think we find, you know, all the combine stuff and all the processes that we see happen – we still don't understand these are 19, 20-year-olds. Zach got introduced to a professional life at 19, and he's finally not only growing up, but he's physically maturing. His game is maturing. And then on top of it, you get thrown in the mix where, all right, we're done losing now. So be the reason we win.
Right.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. the thing that they did, I really wonder, Rob, how this city and this organization would have moved around if they didn't throw the playoff talk out there the way they had to this year, because people got tired of hearing about rebuilding. They didn't even talk about rebuilding. They ran away from it. They didn't even they said it was a rebuild and all this other stuff. When you trade a star player for draft picks, it's a rebuild. And now we're sitting back in the same place. I was talking to Kendall and Will about it the other day. You know, last year, it was supposed to be losing because Zion was on the line. This year, you got the same record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a fairly weak draft class coming in.
And you didn't try to lose.
And you weren't trying to lose.
That's the biggest part to me.
You weren't starting two
like failing at not losing
for all of March and April.
Yeah, well,
like I said, it was the least Bulls basketball I'd watched in years. Shout out to the Bulls outsiders who had to entertain.
Have nightmares about March of 2019.
last years I watched was the last Nico Mirotic years, where it was like, all right, I can peace out now. You know, they fired my coach. I'm out of here now. I'm good. You guys can have this.
But that's the question, right? Is if Zach is going to be here long term, and you want to lift him to that platform where he'll start getting that recognition, or the Bulls to just be successful generally, like, where are the avenues to improve this team other than internally?
You got to move around the way that you haven't moved before in terms of not falling in love with guys that you've drafted.
You talking about out of character.
Let me tell you something right now. I'm not even going to say I love. I'm aware of a lot of players on this team. A lot of guys on this team should not be comfortable. And I feel like there's a sense of comfort that is around and in this organization that a lot of guys shouldn't be comfortable with. I know John is pissed. You know the guys who have competed, and our competitors are pissed. Now, they can't put that face on, but nobody should be happy with this season. And there are no players, coaches, front office, TV people, there should be nobody who is okay and secure. For real. I'm never secure. You know me. I take this thing year to year. But there should be no one that's secure around this franchise right now.
Yeah.
And you don't see that level of discomfort.
But I think, like, Rob, what you were talking about as far as, like, where might there be some kind of flexibility to change what's not working, you think about the Bulls cap situation. You think about this pretty weak free agent class you have on deck. Otto Porter Jr. probably not playing again this season.
Hey, by the way, let's stop this with the Otto stuff. Not you. I'm not saying you did it. But for those out there listening, Otto Porter Jr.'s 9 games and him missing the rest is not the reason why the Bulls
they
are
were
3-6
and six when he went down. No, they were 3-6. And
I feel like, yeah, I feel like we're putting a lot on Otto's shoulders that Otto isn't ready for. Otto always looks – well, I'm not going to blame none of this on injuries.
When Otto went down, that really hurt us. We're all hearing that. At the season-ending, post-mortem.
Listen.
Well, you know, when Otto went down, that really hurt us.
If Otto was 24...
Maybe have one more than true, two-way wing on your roster when you start.
Well, they probably do. It's just they don't.
Hey, no respect to Chris Dunn, who's a great two-way wing.
Yeah.
But you're going to hear it with Chris, and you're going to hear it with Chandler Hutchison, too, who missed time.
And Wendell.
Yeah.
Guess what?
And Lowry.
Everybody gets hurt.
Yeah.
Then what? You got young guys who got hurt. What does that say? I'm not going to get into this now. but you know what? To wrap it up here, as we've gone on 40 minutes, probably longer than we should.
As you said, nobody who is even covering the Bulls is safe these days.
Nobody should be safe. Cowley,
nobody should be safe.
You know? Not KC. KC's safe because he's one of us.
Oh, untouchable.
Yeah. KC's probably, dude, top to bottom, KC probably is the only untouchable in this entire thing, including me, including Kendall, including Will,
certainly me.
Right, right.
Absolutely.
Including Rob, Bulls outsiders, everybody. Zach, everybody. KC is the only untouchable.
Whenever Paxson's asked about potential trades, and he always said that same stupid line, oh, the only person that's ever been untouchable is Michael Jordan and Casey Johnson.
Right. It is.
Asterisk.
It is.
And Casey Johnson.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a steep fall off, by the way.
I hope you made it to the end of this podcast to hear that, Casey.
Casey was like, there's no news happening here. Screw these guys. I gave him my click. That's enough. Let me get back to Kids Bop because I got the kids in the car on the way to the games. All right, fellas. Thank you so much for giving me your time. I appreciate you. Matt Peck from the Bulls Outsiders. Watch him for his fiery takes on Twitter. Give him me a Twitter feed right now, Matt, so they can watch you, including the Bulls brass.
Oh, you are too kind. At Bulls underscore Peck.
At Bulls underscore Peck. Rob Schaefer, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something right now. I put something in an Instagram post the other day, and I was sober when I did it, too. So this is why you know it's from the heart. But in terms of young, up-and-coming dudes in this industry, I like to put my money in good stock, and Rob Schaefer is definitely one of those cats.
Oh, that's man. Kind of you.
I thought he was just some anonymous name jumping on the WhatsApp every once in a while. Then I started reading every one of his things, getting ready for every single Bulls game. Most of the preview that you hear me coming out with right here on NBC Sports Chicago's pre- and post-game show, it comes from Rob Schaefer's writings. And I don't give him enough credit. I will continue to not give him enough credit. But nah, Rob Schaefer is the dude to follow. Give me people.
Appreciate that. At Rob underscore Schaefe. I keep it reportorial on Twitter for the
most
part.
There it is.
But,
yeah, don't go to him for the hot takes.
We'll get into that. We'll get into the summer.
Until the summer. He'll give you the hot takes during the summer because that's when we know Bulldog isn't watching. Tony Gill, our digital content producer extraordinaire, my guy from The Score. Make sure you follow him as well. I'm sure he's taking that 670 out of his Twitter feed as well. Is it at Tony Gill now?
At the Tony Gill.
You know from the blue check.
The Score representation. You know, they made a clean sweep after I left the first
from
time around.
The Ohio State
University. Yeah, yeah. At the Tony Gill. Make sure you're following him. Don't follow me at all because I will block and mute you if you get out of line at any time. I am at a decent point in my life and I don't want you ruining it. So thank you so much for listening to the Bulls Talk Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We know you enjoyed it. It was presented to you by Coors Light. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Subscribe if you like the show. Feel free to rate and review us because you know you loved it. New episodes are ready every Tuesday and Friday morning or whenever Tony bothers me to come in here and do this. We will talk to you on Thursday because Zion will be at the United Center.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it will look like a club because there are a lot of non-basketball fans who want to get a piece of Zion Williamson. So take that however you want to take it. Thank you for listening to Bulls Talk Podcast. From Matt Peck, Rob Schaefer, Tony Gill, I'm Jason Goff, and we'll talk to you next time.